1,000 years ago, our great, great, great ancestors met in the wilderness of the savannas. They had no tools. This was before video games, before TV. We had nothing but the land and our survival. See, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
You said you wanted me to make the podcast like more interesting and suspenseful in the first 30 seconds, so that was my attempt to do that.
Well done, well done. What did they have?
Nothing but the land.
Damn.
And survival. Maybe a few crude implements.
But did they? What the fuck did they do all day?
They probably just fucked, built houses, and hunted, and ate.
Okay, two. I could see three of those things being fun. Fucking.
It doesn't sound too bad actually.
Yeah, building houses. Fuck that. I'm not.
I'm not really been into building houses, but like, But what about forts?
Forts are cool.
Because that was basically like houses.
Yeah.
You building forts as a kid is like the leftover 1,000-year-old instincts to build houses.
Yeah. What have you built in your life, like physically? Something physical.
Ooh, I built a lot of damaged relationships. Built a sense of inferiority within myself. Let's see. I've built up my pride in my. Scratch that last one. I don't know where I was going with that actually.
You build damaged relationships?
Sure, absolutely. You build them and you maintain them, and then you try to throw them up in the air, and they come back down, crashing back down, like a skyrocket into the ground, as Trump would say.
So, you build damaged relationships. Oh, wait, you build a relationship and then you destroy them or damage them?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that?
Well, no. I build the foundation upon damage itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you go about doing that?
Usually the way I start interacting with people is weird. And it only attracts the weirdest people.
Yeah, well, if the interaction that starts weird, they're gonna get weird. So,
yeah, most of the time I'll be like, "Yo, what's your deal?"
Well,
it's like first words to say to somebody. And usually, people whose deal is cool, they'll be like, "Who the fuck are you?" And that'll be the end of the interaction. But then there are people who are like starved for attention. They're like, "Oh, my deal is like I like to collect bags of peanuts that I find on the ground, and sometimes I watch movies and listen to the radio. How about you? What's your deal?" And then a friendship is born.
So your name is Jake Robinson, right?
That's correct. Okay. And you're Masi Amadzai.
Okay, sorry, I just had a bit of amnesia there.
That's all right. That's okay. Yeah, and we are Chats with Friends. We were supposed to say that in unison.
I like being natural. I don't want the audience to know what this is
about. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about these new standards and practices that are coming from from management. You know, I feel like
fuck that guy.
Fuck those guys, dude. What do they know? What do they know about managing?
Yeah.
Huh?
They think they can control us.
They think they can control us and tell us what to do because they sign our checks. Fuck them, dude. Fuck. No. Absolutely not. No man controls another man.
Yes. So you said your interactions with people, with friends, are weird. How did our interaction go at the beginning?
Oh, yeah. I remember I was dressed in a suit and you were like, "Hey, you're in a suit." And I was like, "That's right. What do you want?"
Is that really what I said?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Okay.
You're not a hot girl, so it's like really hard to remember like what was the first interaction we had and what were the first words we said to each other, you know?
Where did we meet?
We met in the cafeteria of Sutherland Global Services.
That's a great company, right?
It's a very good company, and I can say nothing to wound its character because its character is flawless. And I can't say anything bad. They're a great, great company to work for. They definitely don't exploit their workers. And everybody loves their lives there. It's definitely not a terrible environment filled with adult children from entry level to the tippity top of upper management.
I'm so
definitely not filled with adult children all the way up.
I'm so glad you can't say all that. That's really great. So what do you?
I couldn't. No, even if I tried, I couldn't say it. The words wouldn't form.
Yeah. It's
I have a learning disability.
I had a great time there. Everything was the least favorite part about Sutherland for me. I mean, was that I didn't get to go there every single day of every single hour. I mean, yeah, basically, yeah. I love that place.
Yeah.
Good. So what are your thoughts about emotions and essentially what are your thoughts about fear? Do you have any fears for the future?
You know, that's a perfectly normal and reasonable question for one human to ask to another human. And I'm going to elaborate on that real quick. It sounds like you're asking a robot, how do you love? and it's just against my programming to be able to answer that question sufficiently. So like emotions, moods, feelings, thoughts, what are they? I don't know. Who's to say?
You don't, you're a robot? What the fuck?
This is going to be a weird episode, I think. I feel it in my circuitry that this is going to be a weird episode. This is going to be one of the more absurd.
Yeah. Well, the weirder, the better, I think. We have discussed some strange things in our conversations. So what do you fear, robot? I mean, you're not a robot. Why am I saying that?
What is my biggest fear? Are you asking me what's my biggest fear?
Yes. What is your biggest fear?
Be shut down.
As a robot or like as a human being? What's going on?
To be shut down, turned off, the lights to go off and blackness to consume me and dreams of total darkness. For me to become obsolete and another sleeker, sexier machine to take my place. Even if that place is like a server rack underground, deep underground, in the annals of some server room. I know that word is pronounced annals, but I said annals because it's funny.
I am really fucking confused right now. This
is gonna be a good episode.
Yeah,
no,
so
it's gonna be a good episode.
It's gonna be, but what? This is when did you discover your robot, dude? You never told me.
One day I was swimming in the pool. And, well, I say I was swimming in the pool, but, hold on. Let me back up. One day I had a knife in my hand and I accidentally cut myself. You know, I was doing some prep cooking, you know, I was chopping up cucumbers and tomatoes and all those other vegetables. And I sliced my finger and all of a sudden just wires started to come out. And, that's what I knew. Yeah. The truth.
The truth. Okay. Well. How do you know fear and emotion if you're a fucking robot?
You know, these human concepts have been communicated to me in a variety of ways. I understand them. I understand humans and what they are like. And okay. I understand that they experience love and fear and horniness and...
You understand all of that, and okay, so like, prove it. I don't believe you. Prove that you're a robot. Where's your robot voice? You sound like...
I am a robot. I have a robot voice.
So you're just masking it with like this Jake Robinson?
The protocol to do the human voice has ended. I can no longer do the human voice. I'm beginning to lose my ability to do the human voice. I can only do computer voice now. I'm losing memory, losing RAM.
Okay, are you running out of battery juice? How do you fucking stay powered?
I have to be plugged into a wall.
Where does it go? Where does the plug go?
The plug goes to the outside, to the power grid.
No, where do you plug it in? Yourself?
Into my asshole.
Okay. Well,
it's a special port where the cord goes, and it plugs into my butthole.
Who plugs it in? Do you do it like? Are you self-sufficient?
I have a self-sustaining protocol that I insert the cable into my rectum.
Why do you have like a German accent now? What was that?
I do not have a German accent. This is my real voice. Okay, this bit's over. The robot, okay. I don't know why there was just a robot here. That was really weird. I'm back. There was no, I don't know what happened there. There was a robot in the room and he had control of my mic and he was pretending to be me, but don't worry guys, the impersonator's gone and I'm back.
Well, I actually like him better. I know you're my best friend, but I like him better. So like,
do you want to bring him back? Do you,
I just
bring him on as like a guest?
Yeah, like I just wait, we'll save him for another time. I want I want you to tell me about your thoughts on emotions and particularly fear.
Okay, yeah. I think when you asked the computer that, it sort of broke its programming and that caused it to break down. And so now I have like a dead computer over here that's like, it's really fucking up. Because they can't understand. You can't just inject code like that into the system and expect it to be hunky-dory.
Dude.
But yeah, like me, human being, Jake Robinson, human being, what's my feelings on emotions? I think it's good to like have emotional stability, emotional intelligence. That is something that has developed with time. That's a pretty lukewarm milquetoast take. Like everybody has emotions. I think so. I think everybody has emotions. But no, it's good. It's good to manage your emotions.
Do you believe?
Do
you believe that there is such thing? I know there's IQ. Do you really believe there's EQ, emotional intelligence?
Well, I mean, IQ is a bigger topic. That is interesting that we should go into. But yeah, there's like emotional intelligence. There's like the ability to control your emotions and to feel emotions with like varying levels of intensity. Yeah, like how to utilize the emotion that you're feeling and channel it into productivity or counterproductivity is, that's important. And I think that can be quantified. So I think if you are having a conversation with somebody on the phone and you smash your phone as a result of something they've said that upsets you, you know, that could probably be considered low emotional intelligence. And then high emotional intelligence is I guess being able to maintain an even keel even in upsetting situations, not letting like extremely stressful situations change your outward behavior. Yeah, all that's really important, I think.
Do you believe that IQ has an effect on EQ, emotional intelligence?
I don't really believe in IQ, but I think just like everything, just like IQ, your environment has a lot to do with it. Your environment and how you're raised and what your surroundings are has a lot to do with like how you develop as a person and what coping mechanisms you have access to or don't have access to.
So I believe as a child, children don't really know how to regulate their emotions. Like my nephew really gets pissed off and he's 4 years old and he starts hitting himself. I think I said that before. So
yeah, we talked about Armand.
He's this little psycho sometimes. But as adults, you learn how to regulate your emotions. And walk me through how you get yourself in a good mood when you're not in a good mood, and then
How do I get myself in a good mood?
Yes.
Man, I wish I knew. There's like good things that I can do to like get myself out of a bad mood, you know. Usually what that is, like I'm really easy to get into a good mood. Usually I'm a single guy, so I can't just like fuck the pain away, you know, so I gotta have like myself, like better coping mechanisms. But like if I have a girlfriend, like that's the best way to do it. Like I'm just gonna fuck and like that's a big dopamine hit right there. But if I don't have access to that, right, if you're like a single guy out there and like you're frustrated because your dick is perpetually dry and you have no idea how to handle these thoughts and feelings that you're feeling and thinking, I would say for me, do a lot of push-ups to get the heart racing and the blood flowing, and then eat a turkey sandwich with barbecue potato chips and mashed potatoes, and then top it all off with a good wank. And then you're right as rain. You're right as rain. This is genuine advice, especially the first two ones. Yeah, definitely the turkey sandwich with barbecue potato chips and like probably a good old pretzel roll in there. And but definitely you have to get something that's like it gets your blood pumping.
Okay.
You know, get the blood pumping, get air into the pieces of lungs that haven't had air in them in a while. Maybe do some jumping jacks, do a lot of push-ups, maybe go for a fucking run. I know when you're depressed, it's like really, really hard to leave your house. That's been my experience anyway. But just lifting weights, maybe doing some chin-ups, doing push-ups, jumping jacks, planks. That's all stuff that you should, that's all stuff that I do to like get over like depressive episodes. Yeah. Like learning how to get out of your lows is like a really, really important part of emotional management.
So I guess both of them, it's for you, it's easy to get into, you said it's easy to get in a good mood, but it's more difficult.
No, hold on. If I said that, I misspoke.
Okay.
It's definitely not easy. None of this stuff is easy. But I mean, I'm just saying like as a person who's dealt with it, like over the years, here are the strategies and systems that I've devised that seem to work fairly consistently. But by no means is any of this fucking easy. It's all like extremely difficult actually. And like, it's easy even to like recognize the steps, but like, and like putting them into action, it's fucking monumentally difficult. Everything feels like it's monumentally difficult when you're depressed. Fucking getting out of bed, brushing your teeth, putting on clothes, walking out the door, looking people in the eye, that's all fucking like impossible. It's all impossible when you're depressed. So none of this is.
Okay, fair enough. Because I was gonna say it's fucking hard for me to get into a good mood, and then it's easy to get into a bad mood, and then it's fucking hard to get back into a good mood after I'm in a bad mood. So it's like, yeah, that's because like for instance this morning, I get that saying morning person and not a morning person, because like in the mornings or whenever I wake up, I have to do a few things in order to get my mood regulated to feel good, feel happy. Those things are the routine I have, which is like make coffee and then go for a walk, come back and drink coffee and watch a comedy. Watch a comedy, because like that gets me in a humorous mood, and when you're in a humorous mood you're in a good mood. So like,
yeah,
but then like I do all of those things and I become really productive and I start fucking getting shit done, and then yeah. I have a conversation with someone, it's a particular family member, and the conversation always fucks up my mood, bro. Like,
oh damn, dude.
Yeah, it turns from like a lighthearted conversation into a heated argument, and I get so worked up that I'm like, oh fuck, I don't want to do anything anymore. I'm just like super pissed off and super aggravated. How do you deal with that?
It's not your brother, is it?
I don't want to dox him or knox him, or whatever. I don't know that saying yet. Like, it doesn't.
I'm just saying, I'm only guessing because that's been my experience.
Yes, it is. It is my brother. It's one of my brothers. But in general, like, how do you get out of the bad mood after being in a good mood for so long? Why is it so fucking easy for, like, to other people's angers or other people's irritability to cause that back to you? It's like, arguments, I guess, in a way. It's like it starts lighthearted. So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with, like, you do a lot of political debates and discussions, and you were in a debate team, and you don't you get worked up when you are debating or arguing?
Yeah, I get really worked up. And you know, it's, I get fucking major burnout, and I'm currently going through like a fucking long period of burnout where like I just don't want to engage. And burnout is sort of like, it's a brand of depression where like the engagement in political discussion is like, it's hard. It becomes insurmountably difficult. Just like we were saying about like everything being difficult when you're depressed. When you don't have the emotional energy, I just don't have the emotional energy at this time to like engage in political discussions. That doesn't make them any less important. And like, I'm very much privileged to be able to say like, you know what, I'm just going to check out this. I'm just going to check out this month or this week and just not engage. I mean, I'm privileged to be able to do that. But yeah, as far as like what I don't know. It is like it. There's burnout. There's an aspect of burnout. Like you gotta just take a step back and maybe like do something else. Do something that makes you happy. Do something that makes you laugh. You know, like you said, watch a comedy, and that can be like a good mechanism or a good strategy by which to change your mood. The importance of comedy and like having a sense of humor is, can't be underestimated.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You used to be a comedian, right?
I did used to be a stand-up comedian. I would say, like, at this point in my life, I'm a disgraced comedian.
Why is that?
I don't get along with people. I don't know how to talk to them.
Maybe it's the other way around. People just don't know how to get along with you, because I fucking get along with you just fine.
Yeah, we get along just fine. But, like, if you're in a room of 13 people, it's statistically unlikely that 12 of those people are assholes. And if 12 of those people are treating you like you're the asshole, you're probably the asshole. So for me, I was in the stand-up comedy scene for a pretty long time. And I was very prolific in the Huntsville, Alabama scene. At one point, I was the most prolific stand-up comic. I would do all the open mics. And I would scorn my other like fellow stand-ups for kind of being lazy and like not going to venues that like, yeah, well, they're music venues, but like you can do stand up there. Like if you're not polishing your bit like at all times, if you're not going out and doing like your standard routine because you don't like musicians or whatever, it's fucked up. And like a lot of stand ups are really sad people, and like they just use the microphone as like a 10-minute therapy session because they can't afford therapy because they're poor and sad. That's fucked up in its own way, but like I don't know, I didn't get along with people in the Huntsville scene, and then I started my own scene out in Sheffield, Alabama, which was cool for a little while. I drove out there, paid me every week to host this show, and there was basically no stand-up comedy out there, so I essentially started the stand-up comedy scene in Sheffield, Alabama.
And, wow.
When I moved, I passed it off to a guy named Duel Aldridge. Shout out to Duel. And
nice.
I was a comedian for a while. It kind of made me depressed. I think when you're around other people who are depressed, it becomes depressing. You know, it's hard to like maintain a positive vibe when you're around like people who have negative energy. But like here I am, just like blaming other people, and like it's probably me. I was probably the asshole there. So at one point, I made a long post. Telling basically everyone to go fuck themselves. And in a really, really elaborate and detailed multi-paragraph
essay?
Not it, but like it was a multi-paragraph fuck you to like literally everyone except for like three or four people in the stand-up comedy. Like,
can you find that document article and read it to us?
I cannot. I think I deleted it out of shame.
Okay. Okay.
If I can find it, I will try to, I'll try to read it on air because, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this podcast is almost like confession, like going to confession.
Yeah, tell me your sins, my child.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So if I find it, I'll try to share it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you don't have to. You have to. Is it Docs or Knox, bro? I don't know which one it is.
Docs.
Yeah, Docs. Okay, so you don't have to Docs.
Like documents. You're sharing your own. You're sharing somebody else's documents, personal documents and effects.
Ah, okay. Finally, I always get that mixed up. So yeah, you don't have to Docs anybody.
Outro, apparently.
Huh? You don't have to Docs anybody in that. No. You just read what she said, because it's not. I think it's when we're really pissed off, we say some really articulate insults sometimes.
Oh,
so.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I do. And I feel, you know, it feels good. It feels good to tell people off. But then, like, when you're in an argument with people, it's like, okay, anger and horniness are sort of like very similar emotions. You know, it's like it's very in the moment and it's very, very impulsive. But also on the same token, they can like really bite you in the ass after the feeling is ebbed and you're back to like a neutral state. So in the same way that like you can say anything when you're dirty talking, when you're talking dirty, you can say literally anything and it's all okay. But then there are still consequences, right? There are still consequences. Like if you say like, yeah, I think you're my sister. Your sister.
What? Can you say that louder? Because we can't hear you.
No, you know what? I think once was more than enough.
Okay. Yeah. No. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I'm not like that. I guess I'm just a romantic, so I don't know about the dirty talk yet.
I want to eat a hard-boiled egg out of your pussy, and then
Jesus.
You know, fucking sepsis. You think it's a good idea at the time, but then toxic shock. So it's not always great. You know, a good idea, a really creative good idea in the moment can feel good, but ultimately, we all have to live with the consequences.
We do. Maybe. We do. I can speak for horniness because I am I was younger in the past, and I've made a lot of mistakes with women, I wish some of those weren't. I wish I didn't make those mistakes. So I can definitely say that. With anger, I absolutely almost. Like, it takes me a while to feel bad about what I said. Not that long, maybe 30 minutes or an hour later. And then I don't know how to approach the things I said to the person. Like, I don't want to apologize because I'm still, in a way, angry. But,
Well, look here, you son of a bitch. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I like that. That's great. Yep. That's the best apology after an argument.
Look here, I crossed the line, and that line's, you know what? I drew a line in the sand and then I crossed and that wasn't right, but you're still a piece of shit and I fucking hate you. So I'm gonna go jerk one out so I feel better. Go fuck.
Oh, man.
I'm gonna go fuck myself. You go fuck yourself. Bitch.
Yep, nice. Hey, can we do a quick pause for just a minute? I'll be right back.
Why are you coming home 5 in the morning? Something's going on. Can I smell your dick? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right through your computer or phone. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so that you can, with her on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need from a podcast. Make it one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Buddy, I'm back. You there?
Hey, man. What's up?
Not much. Just devenomed the snake, buddy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that code for you jerked one off?
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what I meant. Thanks for understanding.
That's what I'm going to say from now on. devenomed the snake. It's a perfect analogy, really, because you think so much clearer after you jerked one off.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But I didn't do that. I went and I urinated in another sense. So.
See, that doesn't make as much sense.
It does when it's stinging. Like, it's like, yeah, you got to... I'm gonna fuck you up if you don't get this venom out of me. So you could word it both ways.
Is urine venom?
Yeah, technically.
Is pee-pee venom?
I mean, like, it feels like it is, because, like, if I don't do it, it causes a lot of discomfort. So
I mean, we're talking about masturbating right now, it feels like.
No. I mean, well, you could swing it both ways. One is more urgent. Like,
you swing him, guys.
if I will take a page from my brother's dialogue, if I was gay, you would be. Nah, I can't even say that. Fuck off. Okay. I love gay people. I love lesbians. Yeah. But I'm not gay.
You love gay men.
Yeah, I do. They're cool. But I'm not gay. I'm a straight man. Thank you. Thank you for understanding, by the way. Let's move on.
Isn't it nice and, like, we can jerk off with hand sanitizer now without people looking down at us and without it being prohibitively expensive?
Wow. I don't recommend doing that.
What are you talking about? It's like, it's not like $1 million a bottle now.
Why would, but
it's honestly like the best food ever. You just have it in your house. It's really incognito. And
How does
But
that?
like before when you were to jerk off and hand sanitizer, like between the months of March and December, if you were to jerk off with hand sanitizer, you're like, oh, the worst guy in the world, because like it's scarce.
With
or
hand
whatever.
sanitizer though?
Yeah, hand sanitizer.
No, that is not the ideal choice. I don't.
Whoa, what are you talking about? What's your ideal choice?
Lube, like, or lotion, like, I mean, anything but
Lotion?
hand sanitizer. Yeah, hot sauce. I'd rather use hot sauce than hand
Hot sauce?
sanitizer.
You're a fucking madman. You're a fucking lunatic, dude.
Okay. Oh man. Well,
what brand hot sauce are we talking about? Like, are we talking like Frank's Red Hot Sauce?
That's
or
the
like...
original. I'm an original. The Frank's Red, bro. That's.
Frank's Red Hot Sauce, great for jerking off. Please sponsor us, Frank's. I really appreciate that.
We found new ways to use
that'd
their
be a
hot
hell of
sauce.
An ad. That'd be a hell of an ad read where we could just like we're advertising Frank's Red Hot Sauce as lube.
Oh man, no, I do not recommend using it as lube with a girl. That will turn.
You want to spice up your night.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well said. So, let's see what we got here. Oh, I didn't ask you, and we went into the emotions of good mood and bad mood, but we didn't really go into fear. What are you afraid of, my friend? What do you fear?
Oh man.
Wow.
What am I afraid of? What's not being impactful? All the resources I've consumed over the whole course of my life amounting to nothing, you know? Just being a drain on society and having nothing to give back or contribute. I guess people's approval, like people having like negative feelings towards me, and I guess like public embarrassment, but people, I get public embarrassment combined with like people thinking I'm too sensitive to not being able to take criticism. So talking about me behind my back because like they're too afraid to upset me. Like I've done something wrong that deserves criticism, but then like instead of criticizing me directly, people will just talk about me behind me because I give off the impression that I'm too sensitive to be able to take constructive feedback.
I love that you said that. I love that you said that because that's. That makes you what is the word? Makes you unique because a lot of people don't want criticism to their face. They're like, they rather have people not tell them what they're doing wrong. And if you're
is that true? I don't think that's true. I think most people like want constructive feedback. I think the key word there is constructive. You know, you got to be constructive.
Well,
I think most people want that, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess I've dealt with people that when I try to give them criticism or like constructive criticism or just to help them out in a way, tell them about a bad habit, it turns into a fucking argument. It's like, yo, I was just saying this to help you out, and then now you're attacking me because I am trying to fix something. So it's like, I don't see. It's difficult. People get offended really easily when you try to, even if it's advice or constructive criticism. So that's an interesting fear, I guess, to have. I don't really care if people talk behind my back, but if I'm not gonna be friends with them. I don't like gossipers spreading toxins about me. But let's go back to the one thing you said at the beginning, not being able to contribute to society. I believe you have a lot of great phenomenal insight that the way you explain things and the way and just in that you go into detail and you talk about things that like in detail and you try to help people out in a way where it's very beneficial. It's like and then your creative projects, you always, one time when I was trying to start a business, you were the first one that told me it's not about the money, it's about providing something for humanity. And I don't really care about the financial side of things. So you have a lot of things going on.
Well, that's very nice to say. And you just said a bunch of nice things. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. But you're still gay though.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. So so go into a little bit more of your fears. I want to know more.
Oh man, all my teeth falling out. I guess I generally am afraid of getting older, and that's terrible because it's fucking unavoidable. But like, I'm terrible. Like, and I'm already arthritis runs in my family. So I think to some extent everybody like wants to avoid pain and they're afraid of pain. And I think I'm probably afraid of enduring great pain. I don't think I'm afraid of death per se. I don't think I'm afraid to die, but I think I am afraid of like being in immense pain. And I think as I get older, pain will become like just unavoidable. I'm 30 years old and I'm already like every joint in my body cracks, my elbows crack. My knees crack, my hips crack, like my back, my neck, my shoulders, they all make sounds when I move and I get up in the morning. And arthritis runs in my family. So I think by like 40, I'll just be in constant pain all the time. And I think there's a high likelihood of that happening where I'm just going to be in chronic pain all the time. And I'll have to like medicate myself with drugs that are going to affect my cognitive ability, and I'll just become like fucking completely useless, a completely useless person, just in a shell of like either perpetual pain or you know, medicalized hypnosis. And you know, like at that point, like sure, it's not your fault, but like you're a useless person, you're of use to nobody. So becoming that is tremendously the prospect of becoming that is tremendously upsetting. Getting old generally, like my teeth falling out, losing my hair, not being like losing my ability to go to the bathroom and control when I go to the bathroom. That's all fucking terrifying. Not being like going to the bathroom at inopportune times in public, smelling like piss or shit. All those associations with getting older are terrifying.
Okay, I'm gonna use one of you and your brother's favorite phrase. Okay, there's a lot to unpack there, so let's go to the teeth falling out and the hair problem. You can always get dentures or whatever they get, the old people get, and then you can always get a wig. I think you'd be really cool looking in a wig too, so don't worry about that. The arthritis thing, I'm sorry you're going through pain, buddy. I mean I hope you're not going through pain.
I'm actually not going through pain right now. I'm not in chronic pain right now. I just think like pain is in my future.
Have you researched in a way how to prevent or cure arthritis maybe? Or yeah, prevent basically?
I have.
Okay, check this
my
out.
My coping mechanism. Oh, you're sending me some stuff? Awesome.
Yep, just in Discord. You're a faster reader. So you can read some of these things, some of these tips for.
Ooh, okay. Should eat more fish. I already do a lot of these. I think I'm I am a healthy weight, or at least I'm a little bit underweight. High blood sugar. All right. I'm not going to read this on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, no worries, no worries.
Listening to someone else read is possibly the most boring activity.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen people do
human
that.
Human beings can experience.
People are reading like to prove their or talk about their point. They read somebody else's book on YouTube videos. I'm like, okay, well, could you have just read that and then like put it in the video? Yeah. So
I don't really know what you're getting at there.
We look like people reading, like this one girl was talking about like how jobs aren't your life. Do you work to live or live to work? And then she was talking about that and she had really interesting points, but then she read a book, like she was reading passages out of a book to present the points she was making in a video. So it's like a lot of passages. So I was like, okay, well, she could have just read it and then put the text on the video instead of reading it.
Yeah. It seems like really long-winded way of like presenting the same information.
So that the arthritis thing I believe is preventable. Getting older is not. So
it's totally inevitable, and that's what like it's real, and that's what makes it scary. You know, and like dementia, like that's another thing. Like I will eventually lose my ability to think, right? Because nearly every single person in my family, every old person in my family has dementia. All my grandparents have it.
I confuse Alzheimer's and dementia.
On both sides. Huh?
I confuse Alzheimer's and dementia.
I think they're basically the same disease, but like with I don't know like the distinction either, but I think they're basically the same thing.
Okay.
Dementia is like Alzheimer's, but like advanced.
Okay. So like I actually can relate to that fear because like physically I don't really worry about physically being shitty or what do you call it? Yeah, physical pain and all that, because I'm gonna take steps to be as healthy as possible eventually. I mean, really good physique, all that, but like the psychological things really psychological diseases really worry me, because I already have some of them, like bipolar and PTSD, and I don't want my mental health to deteriorate as I get older. So I asked my godfather, who's in his almost 80s now, and I was like, yeah, that I fear this stuff. And he goes, yeah, the only thing you could do for that is pick your parents wisely. I'm like, fuck, are you serious?
Yeah, there's nothing you can fucking do, dude.
Jesus, but in the way, as an optimist, I will say that it's a long time from now. Like, if we're going to get dementia,
yeah, I guess so.
If we're going to get dementia in our 80s, my godfather and my godmother, they're in their 80s, and they don't seem like they're getting dementia or Alzheimer's. But by then, I think we'll medicine or...
Hopefully there'll be a cure by then at some point, maybe.
Yeah, something
hopefully.
Along the line, like something
what,
like that will
prevent it.
The
brain is really fucking complicated.
Oh, yeah.
The brain is super complicated. And we're gonna fucking run out of oil in 35 years.
Yeah, know? Yeah. Well, you could fix that because you created a fucking robot that is chilling.
I did create a robot. Yeah, it's mainly like the software that's, and it doesn't even know how to handle basic questions like what are you afraid of and like what are emotions. So you know, as far as me handling like a global energy crisis, I don't know. I don't think I'm equipped. I think that's just something we're gonna have to ride out, and it's gonna cause a massive wave of geopolitical tensions that's really going to be fun to watch, but probably lead to a lot of death.
Mm.
A lot of not getting what they need. But anyway, on to the lighter stuff.
Yep. Well, the lighter stuff. First, I just want to address my fears real quick, because it's, I think it...
Yeah. Let me ask you, what are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of you, dude.
What? Why? What are you talking about?
You're a scary person, because like... No, okay, anyways. just kidding.
I mean, you're not the first person to say that. I know you're being ironic, but like,
yeah,
I can be a little bit intense. I can be intense.
Yeah. I'm not scared of you, because I like, I'm a masculine man and you're like gay, so like, it's okay. I don't think you're, I mean, geez,
yeah,
that doesn't make any sense, because there's gay guys that could kick the shit out of me, so that doesn't make any sense. I'm not afraid.
Twinks.
Huh?
You got nothing to be afraid of with the twinks.
What's a twink?
You know what a twink is, bitch.
Okay, well,
look it up.
I do not know what a twink is, ho.
We're gonna reincorporate a previous segment from the first episode. Define the word.
Jesus. Okay.
The word of the day is twink. Definition. I'm probably gonna have to go to Urban Dictionary for this one. Twinkie, not twinky. You fucking fool. God damn it. Twink is gay slang for a young man in his late teens to early 20s, whose traits may include general physical attractiveness, little to no body or facial hair, a slim to average build, and a youthful appearance that may belie an older chronological age. So like it's a young effeminate gay man.
So it's a slang, it's not a slur, right? Because I don't want to slur.
Oh no, it's not a slur. It's
okay,
not a slur.
Okay, cool. I don't, I guess I'm not really afraid of you, because I think you're a good guy, you're a genuine person, but I guess in a way my fears are not sustaining our friendship in the long run. That's probably one thing. I mean, we have been friends for, yeah, bro, like it's just annoying, because like I fucking put so much, there's no other, you and another friend were the only two friends that I really put a lot of time into, because I thought like I had a lot of Lennies in my past, so like, and I don't like that friendships can be so fragile, even if you invest like years and years into it. And I don't want something, I guess the fear of the unknown that could cause our friendship to be to deteriorate, that's kind of what I'm afraid of in the future. But I'm not gonna try to not let that happen. I'm gonna try to not let that happen. But if I, if it happens, then that's what I'm afraid of in a way. That's one of the fears. The other fear is the fear of change. The fear of change. Like, I'm cool with change if it's a positive change. Negative change is like my environment. Like right now, I live in Pittsburgh, and I like my house. I don't want the audience to know where I live, but yeah. I like the comfort of where I'm at, and I've moved a lot in the past, and I don't want to be like, you move a lot and you're cool with traveling, so
yeah, you don't like change, huh?
I don't like the I don't like like drastic changes in environment, like unless it's a positive thing, like the Stoics say don't get attached, or it's kind of like philosophy and stuff that. Don't get attached to things, or people, or people, I guess, in a way too, because I think Seneca talks about it a lot, where you don't really need anything to be happy, I guess, but it's nice to have the people that you care about and love in your life, like, and the nice houses and stuff like that. So. Yeah, I'm afraid of losing things, I guess. That's the main thing. I'm afraid of losing things that I cherish. Like, I cherish our friendship. So, like, with all the other friends that I've said goodbye to, I think I'm not trying to jinx us or anything, but yeah, it would be difficult to lose your friendship. And then it would be difficult to lose the comfort of my living conditions right now. Yeah.
Hmm. I think you're fine, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine, I guess.
I don't think you have anything to worry about right now.
Yeah, okay.
Anything else? Are you afraid of, like, dying alone, inevitably?
No. everybody dies alone. But,
That's true, yeah. That's true. No one's traveling to the other side with you. That's a journey you make.
I'm afraid of death. I am afraid of death because I like living, but... I don't know what the fuck is like on the other side, and everybody has a lot of people have ideas about it, so I don't know. But I like Alan Watts's theory on it, or philosophy on it, where like imagine not waking up, that's like not being born. So in a sense, that's like death in a way too. So do you get that concept?
But like when you don't wake up, you're just dreaming forever. But I think like death is like. It's what you experienced before you were born, which is nothing, you know, it's a nothing.
Right. Yeah. And I guess I'm not afraid of that. I am afraid of dreaming forever. Fuck all that. I had some weird dreams and weird and scary dreams, nightmares. So.
Have you ever seen Open Your Eyes / Vanilla Sky?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't.
It's one of the better Tom Cruise movies, I think.
Okay.
It's one of the better like American remakes of a classic European film.
Okay. Yeah, I'll check it out. What is it called?
Vanilla Sky.
Okay, cool. So those are our fears.
Check it out. I actually just kind of spoiled the whole movie.
No, it's okay. I didn't.
the context in which I'm bringing it up like fucking spoils the whole thing.
It's okay.
Sorry about
it's
that.
Okay. No, it's still it has a 42 on Rotten Tomatoes though. What's up with that?
It might be total shit, and I'm just misremembering.
Okay, no, you're a movie buff. You never recommend anything below.
But, like, you know, Rotten Tomatoes isn't always correct.
You okay, know, yeah.
There's some movies out there that I think were, like, critical failures. Like, everybody, they were critically panned, but, like, I still liked them.
Okay, that's good to know. Then you should watch Once Upon a Time sometime.
I'm probably never going to do that. I don't think I'm the target demographic.
Okay. Well, like, the coolest thing in the episode last night was they had it's a Disney show, and they had a lesbian scene, or like a lesbian romance, which was really interesting. I didn't think Disney did that. So
that's surprising to me that you'd be so interested in something like that, being a gay man yourself. Did you feel like solidarity for the gay community, or
absolutely,
like, my sisters?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if I was gay, I'm gay for them because they're girls. If I'm not a girl, but anyways, fuck. I like
Chicks probably
lesbians. I like lesbians, okay? I mean, I think the gay community, even if I wasn't gay, should be represented
even if
in
you
my life.
weren't gay.
Did I say that? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay. Well, I'm not gay, but okay. Jesus. Yeah. So let's see here. What we got? So do you have any awesome happenings you want to talk about that's happening around the world?
Awesome happenings that are happening around the world. Honestly, I haven't been paying attention to current events very much recently. I've been sort of like very, very disengaged from all current events, basically. I've been just starting this new job and not really engaging very much, and that's really bad, right? I should really know what the fuck is happening in the world, but I haven't been.
No worries, bro. I got you covered. There was an alien that just landed in Kansas.
You're shitting me.
No, dude.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, that's so interesting you said that. It's a pile of shit that walks around, and it's making babies everywhere with human
Don't
beings.
fucking don't make me excited about UFOs coming down.
Okay.
Rural Kansas once UFO hotspot. I'm not getting anything on Google. Dude, why are you doing this? Why are you making me like, because
Okay.
UFOlogy is becoming like really kind of mainstream now. Like 60 Minutes did like a documentary about like not documentary, but they did a 12-minute segment about the recent footage that was released by the Department of Defense. Because like now, like the Department of Defense has acknowledged, like yeah, there have been alien sightings, and like there are aerial phenomena that we can't possibly explain. And they've released a bunch of footage.
Oh yeah, my
And
brother told me about that. This is 60 Minutes doing something about
yeah, they
it.
did
Wow.
12 out of the 60 minutes were like devoted to the aliens, and that's a lot of minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think 60 Minutes is legit, or do you believe it's legit, like a legitimate reporting agency?
I think so. I think they are. Yeah. Yeah,
Cool.
they seem pretty like in depth with they seem pretty thorough in their research and presentation. I don't watch television very much, but like shows like Dateline and 2020 and 60 Minutes all seem pretty high quality.
What did you see? Like, did you see a UFO or?
Basically they had on two pilots in I think the US Navy, and they were on this for lack of a better word, a battleship, or sorry, it was an aircraft carrier. And people on the aircraft carrier, like some of the pilots on the aircraft carrier, when they were doing like regular patrols, they witnessed this tic-tac-like craft that essentially just broke the laws of physics. And it was interesting because there was like two pilots, and yeah, there were two pilots, and they basically both saw the same thing. It was, you know what, I it's it was really, really interesting what was going on. And I the USS Nimitz was like a they apparently had like some sort of UFO footage as well, and then like some apparent like FBI agents like came down and confiscated it. And yeah, all that high strangeness stuff is like pretty interesting, because it's one of those things where it's like you're engaging in like this fantasy, right? That there's like it's almost like belief in the supernatural, but it's really, really close to like belief in the supernatural. But like it could be real. It could be real.
Yeah, I never disbelieved that. I mean, I never believed that we're the only people. I mean, I'm not gonna go deep into it, but like, the fucking universe is so big, man. It could
Yeah.
happen. It's like,
Right, exactly.
so that's really cool, actually. I'm glad you thought of that, 'cause I didn't have anything off the cuff to talk about for the cool things happening around the world. But there is one thing I just remembered. Was we're getting closer than ever to having a drug that can treat autism or treat autism symptoms of autism.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. There's a small but promising, literally. I was doing some research on it, and there seems to be a drug that has been around for 100 years that can measurably improve the symptoms of autism, something called ASD. Mm. No, wait, what is it called? It's the drug was called, let me see here, Cerimin, which is awesome. So do you think in like 10 to 20 years we'll have drugs that cure things like mental illness? Like, it's a big thing right now. Is autism a mental illness technically?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think in about 20 years we'll have drugs that can cure it completely? Autism, depression.
I have no idea. That is an extremely, extremely complex subject. Like, and it's really like two blendings of extremely complex subjects that I have no familiarity in. Neurology and pharmaceuticals, right?
Okay.
Chemistry and like medicine itself is like so fucking complicated, and like, I don't know, the brain itself is so complicated, and I don't know.
Okay, yeah,
I don't know. You know, and I would probably give my money to the companies that are looking to improve those things.
Hell yeah.
Biopharmaceutical companies are in desperate need of funding. It's like they essentially operate at a huge cost and a huge loss for the first like 5 years of their first 5 to 10 years of operation, because they're just research. It's just all research.
That's fair enough. I wanna ask one more thing about what do you think about the hyperloops that were planned for
New
York?
It's so dumb.
Well, apparently hyperloops are coming.
Hyperloops are like the...
I just sent it to you in Discord.
It's just a one-way lane, right?
Yeah, I sent you the research.
It's so fucking retarded. Why wouldn't you just build a fucking subway? Why are you gonna have like the amount of you could just use a fucking subway? Like, it's just another way by which the ruling class can isolate themselves from the working class.
Oh, you know? Okay.
Muskian futurism is extremely dark.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like Musk's vision of the future is like, everybody's like getting a rock hard boner over it, but like, it's extremely dark. Like,
why is that? Go into that a little bit.
Okay. So if you look at things like the Cybertruck and the Hyperloop, these are things at the Hyperloop, Cybertruck, SpaceX, colonizing other planets. Like, Musk himself understands and acknowledges the drastic effects that climate change will have on the average person. But instead of utilizing his enormous wealth towards building up infrastructure, he seems to be coming out with inventions that no working class citizen will ever be able to afford. And they're essentially inventions that further isolate people with money away from those who don't have money, right? You think about like the very nature of like the impenetrability of the Cybertruck and the sheer isolation of the Hyperloop and the sheer isolation of like moving to another planet. These are all things that I think betray the underlying guiding principles of Musk's vision of the future. And it's sort of masked in this like cyberpunk aesthetic that's like viewed by the average person as like really revolutionary and beautiful and like a beautiful futurism. But the harsh reality is that like most people won't be able to afford these things. Most people won't be able to afford the maintenance that they require, and it's just another way to like, the Hyperloop is really like a perfect example of, and it's really a perfect example of this. It's literally like a one-way highway that is under, it's a one-lane highway that's underground where a subway could be. It uses the same technology to build out. You're building it out of the same technology that you could put like a railway or a public transportation system in, but instead, like, it's this fucking crazy, awful death tunnel with no exits. Like, what happens if there's a fucking breakdown in the Hyperloop? And in like subterranean tunnels on like public roads, you'll see like little outlets of like doors or off lanes where you can exit. But like, if there's some sort of gas leak or fire or breakdown, everybody in that tunnel's totally fucked. And like, yeah, they're fucked while they're like in an environment where it's like beautiful gamer lights. But like, as soon as there's one breakdown, people are gonna realize how fucking retarded it is.
Wow.
He could have used all of that money. Like, think of how fucking expensive that project was. And like, the amount of money required to do that project could have been utilized in so many different ways. Like, people like to say that Musk, like, is this brave guy who's like ushering us into a new future that's gonna be good for everybody. But if that were true, like, why are you building this thing that like one person at a time can travel through instead of like a public transportation system that would help everybody?
One person at a time? That's stupid as fuck.
Have you seen the lanes? Have you seen the Hyperloop?
No. I didn't. I don't know that much about it, but it's 700 miles per hour. I don't know how somebody can go in.
Wait, hold on. This is a different thing.
I just sent it to you in Discord, but it said it here. It's supposed to be here by 2021, so maybe it's delayed. I don't fucking know.
Oh, yeah. This is like an old design that is also never going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. Outdated then. All right. Well, the...
Oh, I think what he built instead was like this subterranean one-lane highway.
Hmm. What?
Yeah, the Hyperloop is not going to happen.
Okay. I'm glad you have more knowledge on it than I do. That's great. I don't know that much about it, but it seemed like it's exciting. I have a question for you though, because I was watching Snapchat story or something from someone, and they were describing Elon Musk in a different light than I seen him before. He doesn't seem like he respects trans rights and all this stuff, and he seems kind of arrogant and says things that aren't true sometimes. So do you think he's a good person? I mean, do you think he's a fascist? I don't know.
I don't think he's a fascist. I think he's just like, he's like all the other rich people. He is a dumb, rich asshole who was born to people who took advantage of African apartheid. He was born to weren't his parents like diamond miners in sub-Saharan Africa, right? Like, he's a product of his environment. And like, if you have rich asshole parents and you inherit all this money and like, you inherit all this money and connections and like you, he took advantage of like the dot-com bubble and like not the dot-com bubble. He took advantage of like the advent of the internet with like one of the preeminent payment platforms, that being PayPal. Like, he made a fuck ton of money on PayPal, and then with that financial stability, he like founded a bunch of different companies. But yeah, I mean,
okay,
he's a visionary, I guess, but.
Yeah, no, like, I just recently saw some, like, negative commentary about him. I usually never do, because there's all these motivational videos of him.
Yeah, people are starting to wake up to, like, what a dumb fuck he is, because he can't get off Twitter.
Okay,
Yeah, I mean, the novelty around Musk is sort of, like, evaporating fairly fast.
He did seem like he was a hard worker, like, they said that he, in one of the interviews, or, I don't know, he would be in an office and with his brother or someone, and that he would sleep in that office, and then he had a girlfriend at the time. The girlfriend had to come to the office in order to spend time with him.
Sure.
So he seemed like a really hardworking guy, and I don't necessarily think he's dumb at the moment, but like, because like SpaceX and all of these things, Tesla and all of those things seem like it's working in a way.
You know, the head engineer at Tesla quit Tesla, and that now he works over another company called Lucid, who's like primed to be like a major Tesla competitor, a major competitor in the EV market.
Oh wow, okay, yeah, I heard the work conditions. Yeah, I will. But that reminds me, I heard that the work environment for Tesla is really shitty, just like Amazon.
Yeah, of course they are. Of course they are. And then there was like that whole debacle of like, he wanted to keep his factories open like through COVID, and he was like, let the people get back to work. Like, dog, it's the fucking middle of a goddamn plague.
Oh yeah, where, the like, pandemic, yeah.
And this was like in the early stages. Like, he seems like In the early stages, he seemed like a climate-denying kook. He's like kind of like every other libertarian like him. He's not a fascist, but he's like he's not a fascist, but he's a libertarian.
Okay, that's good to know.
Libertarians are dumb as fuck.
I don't know that yet. My politics aren't that strong. But here, I got you brought up something that I wanted to ask you. How did the pandemic affect you, really?
Well, I couldn't jerk off with hand sanitizer anymore without
okay.
looking like an asshole. I had to move. I had to fucking move out of a city that I really loved. And I lost my job, you know? Like, pre-pandemic, I was working in the French Quarter, and I was living in New Orleans. And I was making enough money to save, and I had, like, had a couple girlfriends, which was nice. And, you know, I was financially stable with a good network of people, and I had reliable transportation and, like, a thriving social network. It was good. It was good times. But then, like, obviously being in the fucking French Quarter in New Orleans, working in the French Quarter during a disease outbreak that's, like, highly transmissible, yeah, that's the worst fucking place you can be, especially given the fact that, like, I take public transportation to work. So I couldn't afford rent. I couldn't afford rent, and I had to move. And I couldn't afford rent. I couldn't keep doing my job, so I had to move. Plus, I'm immunosuppressed, so like it would be against my best interests and like against my doctor's orders to like continue being in that environment. So I had to move. I had to move back home up to Rochester. And like while I was in Rochester, like during the early stages of the pandemic, I had to like take care of my grandmother, which is like good. It was nice spending time with her. And then I had to move again down to Tennessee, I moved down to Tennessee for a little bit. I spent some time on a farm. Farm life was, honestly, it was okay. It was okay, farm life. But yeah, I mean, like, my whole fucking life was uprooted. My whole life was uprooted. I haven't gone to the doctor in, like, a year and a half.
You still haven't gone?
No, I still haven't gone. Well, you know what? That's not true. I went to the doctor for, like, a regular checkup, I think, back in October.
Okay. Damn, bro. I'm sorry that like it's the pandemic fucked up. You had.
I really liked New Orleans too, and yeah. I was just getting used to the city. I was just finding my footing in a city that I really, really, really liked, and a job I really liked, and I had people I really liked, and I was starting to build a life that was like worth going out and living, and that was it was nice, and like you know, when you're living in a city whose economy is based around tourism and then like there's a global pandemic, it's fucked. New Orleans is totally fucked now, by the way. I don't know how any city whose entire economy was based around tourism is going to survive in the next 10 years.
Wow. Yeah, I remember when I would have conversations with you back then pre-pandemic, you would always like encourage me to come down there and check it out or even move there, and you really loved it there. Out of all the places you've lived, I believe that was your favorite.
It was my favorite, I think. Yeah, it was my favorite. But I think New Orleans might become the new Detroit, dude, and that's fucking sad. Detroit was like a mecca where like Detroit in the fucking 70s and 80s was like incredible. You'd have like ambassadors would like ambassadors from other countries would like come to Detroit, show them Detroit. Like Detroit was like a major city, and it was like an incredible city. It was like a jewel of the country. But due to forces, that is no longer the case.
What happened to Detroit?
What fucking happened to Detroit? think of a lot of the this is speculation on my part because I haven't done very much research into this, and this would be another interesting subject for a deep dive. But my understanding of Detroit was that most of its jobs were manufacturing jobs within the automotive sector, and due to the failing of the American auto industry and many manufacturing jobs being shipped overseas. This led to a lot of economic deterioration within Detroit. A lot of job loss, a lot of unemployment, and this led to the city like degrading pretty rapidly because nobody had jobs. And, yeah, like high unemployment and all that stuff like will lead a city to basically die. Like economically the city was like totally fucked. So, and like we see like the whispers of that already. Like pre-pandemic, we saw the whispers of that in New Orleans. So that's why I say like I think New Orleans is going to be like the next Detroit. But yeah, I mean that's my very very limited understanding of what happened in Detroit and why it no longer is the city it was. Like anything, I should say that I'm not an expert, okay? And this goes for like literally everything we talk about on the podcast. If anybody's listening to this and at any point in any of our episodes, they say, this guy doesn't know the fuck he's talking about. He's such a fucking idiot. Yeah, probably. But I love learning new things and I love learning when I'm a fucking idiot. So if you know some stuff that I don't, please reach out and call me a fucking moron and explain to me carefully, like you would to a child, why exactly I am a moron and why I am wrong. So, and I'll be better for it. You'll be better for it. It's, yeah, everybody will be better for it.
I don't think you're a moron or an idiot, but I think you do your best to inform people the best you can, and if you're not accurate or correct about something, yeah, somebody should reach out. I don't think you're a moron or an idiot, but I do think you're gay, so like let's move on to
I think we should end the episode right there. Yeah, you know, you think I'm gay, and that's, you know, who knows much of that is projection and how much of it is general concern for your friend. This recording has been going for an hour and a half.
Yeah. I do want to ask where can the audience reach you if they want to ask questions or if they want to comment on something? What was that?
Oh man, I'm not on any social media. I think social media is cancer, and I don't really want to put my email. So at some point, like I just said, like contact me if anything I said is dumb. But now I'm like.
No worries. We will put that information in the description when we manage to find that information, like how to contact.
Anybody who is listening to this podcast, if you go into the description of this podcast, there is a way you can leave a voice message, and if you leave your email, I will send you a personal email.
Sounds like a plan. I also just want to touch on the fact that like sorry that the pandemic was really, really shitty and ruined what you had. Was something good that was happening in your life. And for the people that were negatively affected and and with the pandemic, my sincere apologies, or what is that? What's the word? Condolences for your losses.
You should apologize. You're the reason this pandemic is striking us so hard, Mozzie.
It's
you and fucking immigrants like you that lead to the fucking terrors of, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't even know how to propagandize.
No, yeah, it's all good. Yeah, no, it's okay. But I do feel sorry because like the pandemic was, in a way, I don't want to call it that because I'm not religious, but it was good. In a way, for many people, including me and my family as well, because for me particularly, because I hated my job at the time, and I went, I was working at the office, and then it provided a lot of people to work from home. So, and I loved working from home, and it gave me a lot of stability in a way. I didn't have to interact with a lot of people, so it was there is positive aspects of the pandemic. Even though there was a lot of shitty aspects of it as well, but I'm not saying I was grateful for the pandemic, but I did have a lot of good things happen because of it, and I believe the world will be stronger when we go into the next pandemic if it happens. So, with that said,
you think we'll be stronger? You think we we'll be more prepared.
Hell yeah, absolutely, absolutely. There's like the just okay. Just what the reaction it caused, I think, is gonna make us better prepared for the future. Like we'll react better to it in the future, hopefully. I think we will. So with
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. So with that said, any we should get going. Anything you would like to say to end this podcast or this episode?
Well, you know, man, I'm really glad that you callously benefit off the misery of millions of people and the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Americans.
Jesus.
And you know, the fact that you can just boast about it right here on the internet, I respect your bravery.
Oh my God. All right. Well, I didn't want to boast. I just wanted to present the positive points, positive sides of
me. You're gay.
Okay. Thanks, dude. Well, thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
All right, guys. Thank you, anybody who is listening to this episode. I really appreciate it. I know I call you all assholes and fuckers sometimes, but I'm saying that out of love. Those are all terms of endearment to me, and I only break the balls of the people I love the most. So to all of you whose balls have been bruised and broken by my words, you know, go fucking get over yourself and go climb a tree and live up there, maybe build a house. This analogy's falling apart. All right, that's it. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you all for listening. Goodbye.